Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We are so, so glad that you're here with us today. And if you haven't been listening in the last couple weeks, we've been journeying through Joshua and talking about remembering and stones and what it means to worship and proclaim the name of our Lord. And as we were talking last time, you talked about being children of God. And as we all are children of God, it started making me think about how important our roles are. Not necessarily as children of, I mean, certainly as children of God, but to our children.
Sure.
How what we do and say impacts, you know, not only our children.
Everyone around us.
It's everyone around us, and how we can make the difference in somebody's life.
Yeah.
Or somebody's day, somebody's hour.
That's sure. right.
Or, you know, we can really make a horrible difference in how we can be different because we are believers.
Right.
And it's our arms and our feet that we allow God to use for his purpose.
I love it. You know, it is extremely important. And if we think about it, the Joshua 4 passage, remember we started off telling us, reminding us at the beginning of this series, which would have been 4 weeks ago, that this passage covers the whole of society. It has God, it has Joshua the leader, it has the people of Israel, it has the priests, it has the warriors, and so every aspect. So you're talking the military, the leadership, the faith base, and those that follow, and the Lord speaking in. Because we are in community. It is about being in relationship with each other that overflows out of our relationship with God. So our relationship with God impacts everything we do. And I'm reminded of a time where I had a person ask me, I was in a teaching situation, and the person was like, you know, well, do you go in and you just, even as a substitute, you know, because I might be thrown into geometry or trig or band and all these places that I know nothing. I mean, I know nothing.
As a sub,
I just go in and then I'm like, who's the leader? Who knows it? Follow them. But the person was essentially challenging me and asking, well, there's no way your Christianity could go there. And my answer was, oh, yeah. And I go, I can't do anything. I cannot do anything where what I see, what I know, and how I worship God comes out. I cannot. Because if I am in the process of seeing and knowing who God is, and in the process of worshiping him, everybody who comes into my presence, even though I may feel like I'm not doing a very good job of it, they will see that that's what's happening. They will know that that's what's happening in my life. It's evident. So even in the classroom, when I am substitute teaching in position of band or geometry or trig or social studies or something that I know nothing about, the evidence of God will flow out of me. Because if we are drawing near to God, he says, I will draw near to you. It is an automatic that he will be evident to those around us. And it blows my mind away because I've had strange situations where I'm like checking out at Marshall's, and not normally I put out feelers to find out, you know, where somebody's at so I can get something going spiritually in the conversation. But on this particular day, honestly, I was like flat. You know what I mean? Do you know you have those days where not speaking?
Too many.
I'm taking care of something because I had to get there to get something done before I got to the next thing. And I was just kind of like, just let me give you the credit card and get out of here. And she looks at me and she goes, you're a believer.
Oh, my goodness.
And I just kind of looked at her and I went, what? And she goes, you're a believer. I can see it. I'm like, I don't know how that's even possible. You know, I mean, it just it totally took me. And she goes, it's just on you.
Wow.
And I just kind of looked at her and I'm like, you know, and this happened to me a long time ago. And that was my first revelation of when we are in God's presence, even though we may not even be speaking it, people will know that we are in his presence. It's evident. He will reveal himself. He wants us to do the remembrance, to spend the time in seeing and knowing him so that others can see that in us, because it is what he will use to draw other people to him. And so based on your question in that, yes, people are always, I just hit the mic. People are, all my hands are going flying as I'm trying to talk on this, you know. If only you could see what goes on. They're always observing. They're mm-hmm. always watching. And it's always a test of that challenge of integrity, authenticity. Mm. And I know when we first started doing where we have foreign exchange students come in our home, I had many, many people come up to me and say, I would never do that. And I'm like, why? And it's like, to have people in my home and to see, I'm like, there's nothing in our home that they can't see. And that is the way it should be. Mm-hmm. You know, it needs to be to where our authenticity is mm-hmm. evident no matter where we're at. Now, does that mean that I don't have a bad day? Oh, yeah, I do. Do I yell at my children? Yes, I do. Yes. And I have to go back and confess. And mm-hmm. do I get mad at my husband? Yes, I do. But we process it the way we're supposed to in the Lord. And that's what gives us integrity. Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, Tara, the thing, a book that I have read, and I encourage a lot of my friends and family to read it. It's Emotionally Healthy Spirituality.
Yeah, it's good.
I love it because we really, I mean, you mentioned like you have to process things correctly
mm-hmm.
in order to move forward.
Yeah.
And that's so huge, even to grow spiritually.
Yeah.
Because if we're stuck, we're not going to go very far.
No.
And sometimes it's painful to go back and figure it out. And sometimes you do have to ask for forgiveness and admit your faults.
Yeah.
But that's the only way to move forward.
And even if it means that you have to sit on the floor and the two of you just look at it and talk and cry. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, right now with my little one, Michaela and I, you know, I'm in a stage of...
Wait a minute. She's not so little.
Well, she's 16. She's little.
There's the key.
You know,
16.
She's 16 and I'm in whatever. I don't know what I'm in.
Age.
And we just have to sometimes, together, we sit on the floor and we cry as we talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, that's what we do. We are knee to knee, foot to foot, and we just say it as it is because we got to get it out, and then we dialogue.
That's good. That's communication.
Yeah.
That's so important at that age.
And one time, Dad came in to try to, I don't know, referee or something, and she just looked up at him and said, Dad, just, you know, you need to move on. We're dealing with this. It's okay. You know, because mm-hmm. even though, you know, for him observing it seemed tough, but for us, we were working through what needed to be worked through.
Absolutely.
Because that's what happens. Mm-hmm. You have to. You have to process.
And it's difficult for those around you that love you to see you do that. Because we go through, like, my husband wants to pounce.
Yeah.
And it's really important to have the boundaries and to allow those things to... I mean, we owe, like, it's funny because in our family, we have that tension, and then we kind of spew a little bit. It goes up a little higher, but then we calm down, and then we
that's called
resolve.
Marriage.
actually, that's my son and I.
That's called parenting.
Yeah, parenting. But it is. It's important. I mean, we're human, and we have emotions, and we have to respect.
It's just what we do with those emotions.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's hard too.
And
it
that's
is.
The reason why it's important we have stones of remembrance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so today what I'm wanting to challenge is that we have to place those into our lives, okay? God made them go and get, and we were talking before the show started, you know, all right, they had to heft them up on the shoulder. These were not little itty bitty. They call them stones, but guys, these
rocks.
Are big river rocks. They're river rocks. We need to take the time and reflect on the stones of remembrance in our life. Mm. And when we do that, it solidifies what we have seen, what we know, and how we worship our God. I'm always going to go back to that because that's what's in the Joshua 4:23-24. What we see, what we know, and how we worship Him. And so in the Bible study that I'm writing in Portable Sanctuary, one of the things that I challenge the reader to do is I want them to create their stones of remembrance. And I want them to begin with believing in Jesus and then go through and view these stones as an opportunity where you see that you have a powerful moment where you knew the hand of God at work in you, working through your life. And I have found this to be an amazing tool when I am mentoring somebody and helping them to reflect through. One, because if someone hasn't believed on the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior and has not believed, it helps them to see, I got to get the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go through and remember and connect with a God if I don't have Him yet as my Lord.
Right.
And so helping them in mentoring and going through and reflecting on how God's been at work, and then taking those major moments in their life and putting them on a stone. You know, I do it on paper so that they can reflect and remember who God has been and will be. And doing this process, one, it's incredibly affirming because it allows you to see how God has been at work in you when you're a believer.
You think about that as stones, you know, like stepping stones. That's what you're doing. You're just stepping through your life.
And I can't remember. Oh, I cannot remember for the life of me. there's an author that calls it, you know, formulating your spiritual markers. Mm. Oh, maybe it's Henry Blackaby.
Oh, might be.
In Experiencing God. And so creating that so that you know where you've been and what you've done, and then setting it up. And so Greg and I, our eighth year of marriage was our really bad, tough year. I don't know what it is. Our eighth year, I realized I wasn't authentic in a lot of things. I just did it because I knew it's what Greg wanted, but it really wasn't me. So I like went crazy. You know, it's like, you know, things have got to change, whatever. Just I wasn't being real with my husband. Our eighth year was tough. Well, when it came around to our 10th anniversary, we were celebrating because we weren't there anymore. Mm-hmm. We had made it through that tough time. And we went on our little weekend retreat for our 10th anniversary, and we found this incredible slate cross. It's this guy takes this like Dremel tool, and he drills in this rock, and he drilled a cross. So you could use it as a bird bath or a bird feeder, but it's for the yard. And it's a huge stone, slate stone from Texas somewhere, that he carved out this cross. And we bought that as a stone of remembrance for us to see we have Christ at work in our marriage. And that sits on our front porch so that anybody coming in sees that stone of remembrance. This house belongs to the Lord. So we're taking the time to find things to mark in our lives, those moments. Another one is that for Christmas one year, I did a Bible verse, which is a defining life verse for me. I've actually written a Bible study about it, Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Well, when I read that verse the first time, I was blown away. I'm like, God, really? This is Jesus, and you say that we have him in us, and what he did, we can do powerfully in your name. This is mine as well. And I wrote an entire Bible study looking at each of those character traits that we have in Christ in us. And so for one year for Christmas, I made this huge plaque that I did in calligraphy. I painted that Bible verse for Greg, and he hung it above our front door. And so that every time we walk in and out our front door or look at our front door, we are looking at this verse of, this is what we have in us in our home. And so taking things to use as a reminder and laying them out, those markers of things that you have in your life. And it's incredible. You know, oh, this is the time I realized this truth in the Lord. I need to remember that. How can I mark that time in my life so that people won't forget? And Sandy, I'm reminded of one that you did that was very precious to me, but I know it was precious to you too, was at Steve's funeral.
Oh.
Yeah.
The poem?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had written a poem for Steve. He was sick a lot of years, but maybe about 2 years before he passed. It was just called Memories, and I had asked Tara at Steve's service to read my poem. And at first I thought, oh, I don't want to share that. You know, it was so personal, but it was so wonderful. And I had more people come back to me and talk about that poem, you know, Memories of Steve's in my life.
It was
ups
about
and downs.
It was about their love.
It was our love. Yeah,
it was all I could do to read that without
I can't
crying.
Even imagine.
Without
yeah.
crying.
Yeah.
But it was a stone of remembrance. Mm. And what she did is she took before, and I'm going to start crying.
Me too.
Before all of us, and shared with us the stone of remembrance that she had given to her loved one at a very difficult time, reflecting on what God had done in their love, their marriage. It was powerful. It helped us to see God in them. Mm. It helped us to know God in them, and it caused us to worship God. So I want to give a challenge to those of us that are listening. I want you to take the time. You can have a ton of stones. Mm. You may only have a few. you may only have today, okay, I want to know God. I want to see him. I don't want to know him. That may just be today. That's your stone, knowing him. But I want you to take the time and creating, what are your stones of remembrance? What do you need to sit up so that those that see you see that you know God and that you worship him, and this is a marker in your life?
And it's kind of, is it kind of like creating your legacy in a way?
It is your spiritual remembrance. It is your spiritual legacy of remembrance. It really is. And the thing is that it's something we need to revisit often. So every few years, I'll go back and I'll add, and it amazes me. And then, like, I'll feel it's extremely important one year to where I'll reflect on a whole bunch of things, but then the next year, God will show me, you know what? That year, the whole lesson was humility. And so I had, during the year, what I felt like 8 markers, but when I looked back at all of them, it was one lesson. And so I'm able to go back and see how it's what God was teaching me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Things often come back around.
Oh, yeah. I'm in that humility one again, which is why I probably brought that up. But so, for example, right now, what I did is I drew out, and I'll just, I have, you know, the first stone was I believed in Jesus, and then I followed through. And then I went through a very traumatic time in my life because I had a long space. I wasn't discipled. And it wasn't until I was hit by really bad trauma that I had to have God deliver me, and then God taught me trust. Mm-hmm. And then God revealed to me I wasn't to be alone. I wasn't allowed to just be a believer. I was called to be in community in a church. So that was a huge stone of remembrance for me when I realized I needed to be part of a body of believers. And when I finally found a church, it was home. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing he took me to was, you can't just have a community, but you had to be in the Word. And so he taught me how to hunger for the Word. So that was the next one. And then he took going through and showed me a call, that he had a call for me specific, that he had a place for me to go and serve. And then he took me in to a whole nother level as Greg and I went through some major life experiences of trust, faith, and provision as we flooded and the collapse of Enron, losing our retirement, a whole bunch of stuff. And then the process of ministry growing, and then the process of now, and just in waiting for him to do the next thing. And so each of us have our different stones of remembrance. Mine right now is with seminary. I'm calling it my iron stone because I went to be sharpened like iron. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be my iron stone of remembrance.
I love it that you have weight, because you know what? We'll have a lot of those stones in our life. You have to wait on something or go forward or go forward in trust. That's where I am now. I'm going forward.
And trust.
Mm-hmm. In my new normal.
We're glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. We'd love to hear from you. God bless.